Welcome to the Draw Doctors Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
G'day everybody, and welcome to the first show back after Christmas for the Draft Doctors. It is now officially ranking season, and we're going to kick it off with AFL Fantasy Ruck Drafts. And to join us for the second show in a row is the great man, the Statesman. Welcome, mate.
Yeah, live from sunny Darwin, although it's basically storms right now, so it's not so much sun, but it's beautiful and warm. And I must say, I'm actually enjoying the weather change from the lovely Tasmania, although obviously I'm missing a lot of people. So I hope they've enjoyed their Christmas break, and I hope they've already started a much better for all of us 2021.
And on top of doing the AFL ruck ranks, AFL fantasy ruck ranks, we're also drafting Aussie cricketers. Now that Steve's not on the show, we can talk cricket without any sort of persecution. Cam, I'm not too sure how well you're going to do this. I don't pencil you in as a cricket fan, but welcome to you.
You would be very, very wrong. I think I almost like cricket as much as AFL. Massive fan. And so we'll be drafting my favourite cricket player of all time, Michael Bevan, as one.
Now, can I say, Cam, I've got to call you out for something here. So we obviously did that wonderful show, which is apparently Jono's second favourite show, but of course all our listeners believe it's their favourite show, the 22 under 22. And on completion of this game, that you went pretty hard at Stato, saying where the fuck was Jordan Ridley? Well, after we looked through the stats, we showed Cam that actually Jordan Ridley is too old to be in the 22 under 22. Are you feeling pretty sad now, mate?
And how beyond the age was he, Stato?
A couple of months, but that's beside the point. Let's not let a couple of months come between friends. I was right, you were wrong. Sorry, I misused the term friend.
It was, yeah, I'll tell you, it was closer than we are friends.
Work colleagues.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into it. It's ranking season. We've had a good Christmas lunch/dinner, plenty of ham, turkey, and gravy, and that's all you really need, and alcohol, because the rest is just garbage, unless it's roast potato, but we won't get into that. We've already been there. Let's get into the rankings of AFL Fantasy Rucks. What do you reckon? We'll play at five ranks at a time, and we'll have a bit of a discussion about it. Bugger it. We'll go off my list and we'll see what's what. Kicking off number one, it is big Maxi Gawn. I think he just comes in for a stellar season. Everyone talks about the ruck pig Grundy. Look, I could be proven wrong, but I thought he suffered there in isolation last year. But it's all Maxi Gawn for me. I know he's got the injury history, but I think Maxi's in for a big year and wants to take that number one mantle finally. Number two is big ruck pig.
I need to jump in here, Jono, because look, I saw Warnie fall for this trap as well, and look, I've got a lot of love and respect for Warnie. Not so much for you, Jono, but for Warnie, I have. But I need to call this out because this is recency biased at its absolute peak that people are calling Maxi Gawn number one. Now, if we have a look at the last five seasons, so let's just concentrate on the last five seasons, with these two basically started hitting their prime. There is one clear leader over that period, and that is Mr. Brodie Grundy. He has played more games. He has effectively averaged about 8 points more. Over the career, he's averaged 5 points more. And he's missed much less games. There is a massive difference between Brodie Grundy and Maxi Gawn. Yes, we can say one averaged 98 in 2020 and the other one averaged 90.9. But also there's a clear fact that Brody Grundy actually played through the whole season. Maxi Gawn missed 4 games. So therefore, there is absolutely no doubt, the information is makes it absolutely clear that Brody Grundy scored more points in 2020 than Max Gawn. He's done it year after year after year. Only recency bias allows Max Gawn to be one ahead of Brody Grundy. It's wrong. I have Brody Grundy at number one. Cam, did you fall into the trap as well?
I don't know if it's a trap. So the big thing for me isn't the fact that Grundy can put out bigger numbers, because I think he can. There's a reason why he was anointed Ruck Pig in AFL Fantasy. Phenomenal scorer. Darcy Cameron will see more game time, and it really frustrates me a little bit that the Pies did so little with their forward line, because it really means that with back to, you know, 20-minute quarters and also less interchange, that teams are probably going to have to play 2 rucks more often. And so I'm thinking it's Darcy Cameron that's going to chop out a little bit of Grundy's score again. And he'll still be awesome. He got 90, as you said, the equivalent of like 110. But yeah, I think Maxi doesn't have that compatriot. I don't think Luke Jackson is ready yet.
And thank you, because you're just raising my backward point. And thanks to AJS Hawker as well for asking the question at our last pod. Luke Jackson is the man. That's the one they want to develop. Max Gawn is always going to be an injury risk. He's now hitting 30 next year, or this year, should I say. And I always talk about seasons in the wrong frame. But Brody Grundy is in his prime. Yes, he got messed around a little bit with the hub life and the back-to-back games, but I'm happy to say this is our first bet for the year, and I'll take you both on Cartons Cam and what are we going to call you, Jono? Craft Cartons Jono.
Mate, he can't afford a case of what he buys.
So my point is that clearly that Brody Grundy will score more AFL fantasy points than Max Gawn next season. That's the clear bet. Do you want to take me on?
No, I don't have enough confidence in either of them. Like, I'm okay with both of them being around the mark. Like, I think it's, you know, if you were to tier them, it's again Gawn and Grundy and Gap. So, it's not, you're not going to get it out of me. Sorry, Stato. Wisened up since you've been gone.
Dom Tyson and George Holland Smith have burnt us all. now, Craft Cartons, Jono, do you want to take me on? So what I'm suggesting is Brody Grundy.
I don't want to take
the score
because I agree with Cam. It's tier 1-2. It's God tier then.
Listeners, I'm going to put a poll out tonight. Who's a softer cock? Cartons Cam or Craft Cartons, Jono?
No, I'm happy. I think I'm with Cam. I'm the Cam campus. Not going to be much, and I think Grundy does get help this year, but because they saw how cooked he was shouldering the responsibility. And don't forget, Grundy's got another 7 years where he has to be the prime ruckman, so they might just put in a little bit of an insurance policy in there for maybe a year or two, help him out, and then reset. So that's why he's number two. Number three, it is the solo ruck from Adelaide. It is Riley O'Brien. There is literally no contest right there. I think we're all going to agree O'Brien is the clear number three ruckman when it comes to AFL fantasy.
You have number Stato stamp of approval.
Number four and five, it can go either way for me, but I think due to the fact he's got forward status, I'm going with Rowan Marshall. Paddy Ryder is 30-plus next year. Had that knee injury in round 22, I think it was, whatever it was, 21 or 17, whatever you want to call it. So I think it could, and we know Paddy Ryder can play forward, so you could see that switch of Ryder getting more ruck time, less forward, compared to what it was in 2020 when he was more forward ruck. That's why I've got Marshall slightly ahead of my number five in Jared Witts. Jared Witts took a major hit in terms of hit outs and just possessions around the ground. I think because of the shorter format, I think he gets back to close to what he was 2019, 2018. Might not punch out the 100, but he's going to be a pretty solid, serviceable ruckman there at number five for me.
Yeah, and my top five is obviously Brody Grundy, and that's why I made the claim. Thanks for the carton, boys. Maxie Gawn, Riley O'Brien, you're spot on the mark. He's the right beast. Another regret in the keeper system. For me, I had Rowan Marshall at four. Can I say this is when it got really hard? So I actually thought the first three are easy, and then deciding where one and two were was probably a bit of a discussion point. But once you went to the data, it was easy. And number five for me, Jared Witts. That was, to me, he had something like a 20-point drop in COVID. So I've almost forgiven the COVID year. I've just sort of wiped that clean and say, where's the historical data? And Witts averaged 104 in 2019. So he deserved to be in the top five. I wouldn't be surprised if he averages more than Marshall or challenges O'Brien. But because of this lower year, it just sort of put him in fifth rank. How did you go, Cam?
Exactly the same as Jono, actually, which worries me considerably. So Gawn, Grundy, ROB, Rowan Marshall, and Witts. I found the next at least seven or eight really tough.
Actually need to go and have a shower when you were doing 6 to 10? Like, it made you feel a little bit dirty, uncomfortable?
I mean, I'm looking at them right now, and I've changed them around, and I'm going to have a second shower.
Right.
That's how bad it is. Yeah.
And my sort of feeling, to be absolute honest with you, was that it got to the point where I was looking at, I'm happy to take a gamble on Witts because of his drop this year and what his ceiling can be. I'm actually happy to take a punt at round 6 or 7, which will break the draft format a little bit. But Grundy and Gawn, I think, are deserved round one picks because they're so extreme to the others. O'Brien, to me, is worthy if you've got a captain choice away to come at round 3. Marshall is a punt, but a worthwhile punt. But in a keeper, he's just so much value that I'm happy to take him at 4. And Witts was that sort of last one that if I'm not getting either of those 5, I am doing the Steve punt the rucks.
Yeah, completely agree. And to me, it's just, I don't know, round 3, it's key position fair, right? Because we've seen that there's so many defenders, there's so many forwards that are worth it, and there's probably, you know, one or two rucks that are probably worth round 3 or 4 as well. So there's going to be an abundance of mids that are left by round 5 because of the fact that key positions are going to be so heavy in the first few. Stater, why don't you take us through your 6 to 10, mate?
Yeah, before I mention number 6, so it's effectively Calvin's boy. So there was a discussion with the traders when they were talking about sort of the team of the century, so 2010 through to 2020, and most people would easily put Grundy and Gawn as 1 and 2, but there was that other person who was at number 6 that has been solid as a rock through. And at one point, I can't remember what year it was off the top of my head, I think it was about 16 or 17, that he was the highest scorer in AFL fantasy. I'm talking about Todd Goldstein. But my worry with Toddy, and to be fair, he was probably in the top 2 rucks for the first half of 2020, but he is getting to that point of going, does he slow down now? Do they succession plan now? I think, and I could be wrong, Cam, but I think he's turning 34. Yeah, and once you sort of get to that age, and I know Ruck's historically been sort of that older man's game, that is at a point where your body starts failing you. He's been very durable over the years, but it only takes one injury to actually slow you down. They've got Cherry, Zeri, whatever the correct pronunciation is, do they need to start giving him game time and resting Goldie? And that's what it seemed to sort of look like at periods this year, where they were trying to manage him. I think they actually rotated about two or three other support acts for him in the second half of the year. So you look at Goldie's first half of the year, he's in the top two rucks. He was probably struggling to be in the top five in the second half of 2020. Now, I know COVID and 2020 season was so difficult for everyone to manage, but that age, just to me, it just sort of triggered that point of how much and when is it going to hurt. So he was number six. Number seven, I had Nick Nat. Now, I don't say that with major confidence, but Nick Nat at his best is quite a good scorer. Obviously much better in Supercoach than he is AFL Fantasy. But if he's fully fit, has no injury concerns, he is the type of player that can average around that 90 mark. And that's where, you know, the top 10 ruckmen should be at. Next, and I feel a little dirty, but he was a breakout player in 2017. That's Toby Nankervis. And with Soldo going down, most likely out for the full year, I know there's Chol and I know there's Bolter that can all sort of pinch hit, but I think they're support acts. And support acts are going to allow a number one ruckman to do the majority of the work, and that's got to be Nankervis, and he's averaged over 90 before. Number nine, feeling a little bit dirty as well, but Braden Pruce. I can't see Mumford being so highly involved in the system again. I think he's there for support. So if Braden Pruce is actually fit and ready, I think he's number nine. And number 10, and again, I feel a little bit uncomfortable because I'm unsure what happens with Laddams. But I've got Scott Lysette rounding out the 10. So that's number six, Todd Goldstein. Number seven, Nick Nat. Number eight, Toby Nankervis. Number nine, Braden Pruce. And number 10, Scott Lysette. How does that compare to your list, Jono?
Yeah, look, I had Goldie at six, Nick Nat seven, Pruce eight, Nankervis nine, and Lysette 10.
Yeah. Wow, so how close are we?
Pretty similar, boys.
That's all it is, Stato. Great minds.
I also had Goldie at six, and he's actually moved anywhere from between 6 and 12 for me going into this season. So fair bit of variance there. And his season, like just on reflection and looking at the data, it was a massive gap season of two halves. Stato, you were right in regards to, you know, he sort of looked like he was burning out towards the end there. But then if you look at the opponents that he was versing in the second half, they're much better than the first half. So like in the first half, he had the Saints. So he came up against Romar and Ryder. And then after that, it was Giants and he went massive. Swans and he went massive. Hawks and he went massive. Dogs walked all over English. Bombers went massive. And then it slowly started to go downhill as he came up against people that are a little bit better. Soldo takes a lot of rucks down. He doesn't score well himself, but he restricts other rucks really well. Pitnet, same. And then, you know, up against the Demons, the Magpies, Suns. So, like, he starts to hit those really impressive rucks towards the back end. So, I think he's, you know, I'm worried that he's cooked. But I've basically gone six Goldie, seven Tim English, eight Nank, nine Pruce, and 10 Nick Nat.
I think there is a world where Goldie's the number three ruck for the season. Now, I'm not going to draft him in the number three position, but if he's sitting there because everyone else is down on him, if he's sitting there at round 15, I'll actually take him.
Yeah, that'd be about where you'd need to take him as well, because he's sort of, I can't see him. If you miss wits, if you miss the top five, you're punting rucks. But yep. I think there's probably enough behind him that I would still wait after Goldie. I think. We might have lost Jono again. So, Stato, do you want to give us...
No, I'm back. I'm back.
Okay.
No, he's here. So, 11 to 15, Jono.
All right. I found this guy hard to rank, especially with big Steph Martin coming. I've got English in at 11. Probably feels a bit conservative. Could be higher, could be lower, but I've got him there at 11. I think he takes predominant ruck time there with Steph Martin. Coming in at number 12 is Callum Sinclair. Now, we know Sam Nace. We know Sam Nace was there with that ACL. And they've got Tom Hickey in there. So I don't know how that's set up. It's certainly Marsh Community, JLT, Wizard Cup, Watch, whatever you want to call it. So I've got Cal Sinclair because we have seen him go particularly well when he has been that solo ruck. No Alirelia backup. But, and there is a big but, he could be that forward ruck with Tom Hickey being predominant ruckman, or he is the main ruckman and Tom Hickey's just filling in. Because we know Cal Sinclair is probably going to get injured, so it might be a little handcuff there. But that's where I've got Sinclair. I've got Steph Martin at 13. I still think he's playing a lot of minutes, but, you know, Steph Martin can't play forward unlike Tim English. So he, again, takes predominantly the ruck time there. So I'm pretty happy with that. The next two, I'm finding pretty hard to take. I got big Oscar McInerney at 14. It feels dirty to me. I think I can have him lower, Cam. I know you're a big fan, but I think it's right. But it's, again, wait and see. He's got Archie Smith as his only competition, and he's not playing a game. So he will get the minutes and be the solid ruckman, I think. Predominantly longer minutes. Who knows? Do they partner with Archie Smith or Gardner?
Archie Smith is delisted. Just FYI, he's not on the list. Yep.
Okay, so then they're probably going to use Gardner as a bit of a backup ruckman then. Okay, so Big O could go higher. I mean, this is only the new year. We haven't seen any football, so it's wait and see. And coming in at 15 is the ruck forward forward ruck for Fremantle. And that is the big Rory Lobb. We know Sean Darcy is a bit of a glass cannon, can play, but will probably predominantly miss for most of the game, and it's all Rory Lobb.
Now, we'll say the top 10 will pretty well align, although we have the issue up on the top, but we've got an issue from 11 and down to 15, and mainly because my number 11 and my number 12 you don't actually have on your list so far, Jono. So number 11 for me is Sam Draper.
Whoa.
Split ruck with Andrew Phillips. You saw it in the shortened game. Nah, I can't have it.
You'll see that he is the number one ruckman at Essendon next year, and the boy is ready to explode. Number 12, Tom Hickey. There's a reason why they recruited him. They want him as the number one because Cal Sinclair wasn't the number one at Sydney in 2020. He only played that role because their number one went down with an injury. Tom Hickey, we've seen before when he's the number one guy, can actually score okay. I'm not suggesting that he's going to be 90. I'm suggesting he's going to be about the 82 average. But that's what Tom Hickey will do. I've got Ting English at number 13. He should be a lot higher, but Steph Martin just pulls that back. They've played their hand a little bit, but I think he's still going to play around the ground role. And understand, I think Steph's 34. This experiment could end quickly. I hope it doesn't for Steph. I think Tim has some real promise of being a forward ruck. Let's see what happens there. But around the grounds, he can really take the marks. I had Rhys Stanley because I just don't see anyone else at Geelong taking that prime role, so I had him at 14. My problem is that they'll play 15 different rucks that shouldn't be rucks at Geelong while they're playing 17 players over 30 in their midfield.
That's why I've got him lower.
Yeah. And number 15, Oscar McInerney. I'm pretty sure Archie Smith got re-rookied, but I'll have to double-check that, Cam. I'll have to double-check that. But Oscar's obviously got the prime role. I think he is the number one man. I've kept him at 15 because I just haven't seen the scoring power yet. But he is one that won't surprise me to really actually start pushing up a bit further up the list if that all sort of pulls together.
Cam, yours? So my just on Tim English, I actually think they've brought Steph Martin into as almost a sparring buddy for Tim English. He looked really cooked this year, and I think that I don't buy the fact that they're going to play Steph Martin and Tim English in the same team because I think that makes them worse. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. So I have Lysette 11, Hickey 12, Oscar Mack 13, Stanley 14, and I have Rory Lobb at 15.
Yeah, I kept Rory Lobb out of it because my next is going to be another Fremantle player, thinking that Rory Lobb becomes a true forward next year.
Okay, cool. Take it away, Jono. What do you got for 16? Take it away, Stato. What do you got for 16?
Yeah, 16, I've got Sean Darcy, which I just hinted to. Number 17, I'm taking a punt. This is, let's call him Steve's boy, is TDK, Tom DeConning. I think he gets the prime role at Carlton, and I think he's the right man to get the prime role. I think he showed enough this year. They've had big ticks on him for a long time. A new crew coming in, I just think they're going to back him in, and Pitnet, I think, is going to be the support act. So the number two option in case De Conning needs a rest or whatever the case may be. Number 18, I found this hard. I'm a little bit unsure with the injury cloud, but I assume he's going to be okay. So if I'm incorrect and not saying he's not playing, then I withdraw him from the list. But John Segler at number 18, I think with the changes at Hawthorn, I think the McAvoy in defence sort of option may continue a little bit because they lost both Stratton and Frawley, and I don't know if they've got the real big boy, excuse the pun, to play in that defence.
Hey.
Like that one, Cammy. Hey. Number 19, if he was to play more a number one role, I would have him high, and that's Peter Laddams. But I see him as the forward ruck and Lysette the ruck forward. And last but not least, just because he's so talented, he's still going to get ruck time, but he will play a bit forward, and that's Paddy Ryder. The age holds him back, yes, but if he gets a clear run at it, who knows?
Yeah, mine wasn't too dissimilar. So I have Draper coming in at 16 for the same reason that you had him a little bit higher. I actually think he takes over that number one from Phillips, and it probably won't be split. Sean Darcy I have at 17. Again, just the injury concerns more than anything. He seems to be just basically like a piece of paper. 18, Segler. Again, I'm not confident with that at all, but I think with Frawley retiring and then unretiring to St Kilda, that big boy is probably stuck in defence for now as that tall key defender. So that gives more time for Segler. TDK, I have at 19 as well. I think Pitnet probably will lose out at some point this year. They'll probably play split. I wouldn't feel comfortable drafting him as my only ruck. Probably you could say the same for anyone from about 13 down, to be honest. And then Laddams at 20 as well. Just I think Lysette will probably shoulder the load this year again.
Yeah.
But Laddams has shown that he can score forward as well, so it kind of doesn't matter.
John, so who was your 15 to 20, John?
16 to 20 is Sean Darcy coming at 16. If he's fit, he will be the number one ruckman. But again, that's why I've got Darcy and Lobb there, 15-16. Reece Stanley, just don't like the bloke. Be happy not to have him on the list, but
jeez.
Well, average bloke, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, average bloke. They've got some Geelong have had some quality ruckmen on there, but Chris Scott's just a prick and won't play him, but sticks with Reece Stanley.
I think you're forgetting that he beat Brody Grundy in the semi-final.
Sam Draper at 18. I think there's going to be a lot of him and Andrew Phillips time either together or like we saw in 2020 where one plays for a couple of weeks, the other misses, and I just can't have it. But if he's scoring well and plays, then that's fine. 19, I've got big boy McAvoy. Even though he is going to slighten your defense, someone's going to pick him up as that ruckman there. And 20, I've got Laddams as well.
Yeah, not bad.
But good. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I do feel dirty with the last three.
Yeah, I will say doing that list, I've had a lot of showers in between the rankings. But the good thing about Darwin, you can actually have a cold shower and not be frozen to death. So I've had good cleanse and good cold showers.
Fair enough. All right, let's get into the draft section of the show. Now, Steve's not here, so we can talk cricket. And woo-hoo! We saw the Aussies absolutely destroy India back in Adelaide. Boxing Day Test is on and out and about. But we're going to draft our favourite Aussie cricketers. Cam, I hope you've got pen and paper to take note of who's drafting what. No, stuff it.
Yep. I got it.
You've got it. All right. So, Stater, you've been away, so we're going to generate a number for you. We've got the generator here. Pick one for Stato. Look at that. Misses a couple of shows, gets pick one. Cam, you were pick three, therefore I am pick two.
If you lose with the Don at one,
No, he's not even number one.
Hype. Okay, go.
Yeah, what were you going to say, Cam? You're speaking to? Can you remember the ISO drafts, Cam? Now, you might have had a little run of two wins while the gum was away. Well, that's fine, mate. Now you've got some opposition. Listen up.
Stato actually remembers Bradman actually playing. Stato was there for Bradman's final innings.
Stato was the other batter.
What are you talking about? I was the one that built him the bloody little tin shed that he used to practice against. Number one. The greatest batsman to ever live, Don Bradman.
How's Jono saying it's not going to be Bradman at one?
Because people of our day and age
people
will just go,
don't know Don Bradman.
Everyone knows Don Bradman.
What was Don Bradman's average?
I don't know, about 100 million. 99.4, wasn't it?
Well
done. Yeah. 99.94. So two of the three can rattle off his actual stats. And I don't think there's any problem, Jono.
I just think in this climate with our listeners' demographic, you've got to go with someone who has poise, charisma, one of the gun batsmen of the modern generation. That's Ricky Ponting.
Yep.
You cannot go past Ricky Ponting. He is my favourite batsman of all time.
How dare you take a Tasmanian ahead of me?
Well, just proof in the pudding, mate. You should have taken before me.
That's all right. I really want a punter, but I'm going to lock in
Stuart McGill.
Shane Warne. Obviously the best spinner of all time.
No, he's not. That's Murali's, mate.
No, he's actually not. But that's the best spinner
for Australia. This is for Australia Australia. Yeah.
But although another bloke is named Goat.
Yeah, but he's not even on my list. Surely he's not in your list. Okay. And then on the turn, I'm going to take Glenn McGrath and have the best opening or the best bowling partnership that Australia's ever seen.
Now, question. Do I go with my... No, I've already stuffed that up. I think it comes back to me. I've got to go Mark Waugh. Second favourite batsman, Mark Waugh.
Junior.
The better so, Waugh.
I have the turn. Stato, number one. I'll go the better Waugh, the captain, the legend, Steve Waugh. And on the turn, I will take the most defining cricketer in his position that we've seen in the past four decades. The game changer himself, Adam Gilchrist.
Damn it.
Good pick.
Yeah, I was tossing up whether to take him there and thought he would come back to me. But
yes, you were tossing, Jono.
Mm-hmm. I like to toss. That's all right. I'll just take
He's a good,
quite potentially the best Victorian ever to play the game. Game changer, if you may call him. The great, late Dean Jones.
It's a good pick. Are you guys going to draft bowlers or what?
Bowlers are fuckwits. Nah, batsmen.
Bowlers are fuckwits. What?
Fucking this guy. Okay, so I'm going to go a little bit different here, I think. And I'm going to take... I'm actually going to take Steve Smith. I think he's just such an elite player and he's going to be an absolute great. And I'm going to go even maybe a little bit off kilter here and say Elise Perry as my fourth.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Well, this guy's probably had my last pick. He bowls to the left. He bowls to the right. All that we know is Mitch Johnson is shite. Had an absolute mare in England, but made up for it in that Ashes series here when he grew the mo in Victoria. It's Mitch Johnson. Absolute.
Yep.
Some of the best bowling I've ever seen. Can we go another round? Let's make it five rounds. I got more.
I definitely have more.
Yeah, let's go five.
Stato.
Okay. So you want a bowler? I'll just pick Dennis Lilly.
And?
Arguably the greatest bowler.
And?
We've ever.
You're on the turn, mate, so you get another pick.
Right. So
okay to argue that one, by the way.
I've got a quandary. And my problem here is that I've got Bradman, I've got Steve Waugh, I've got Gilchrist, and I've got Dennis Lilly. There's one more in my top nine sitting here, but my number 10 is where I've got an issue. And I don't think I've got anyone that's of recent time. So... that may be an issue, but I'm going to stick to my guns. And for my last is Greg Chappell.
Okay. But if you were two for 22, you failed to take the great Richie Beno. Richie Beno, number five.
Wow. Good guess.
I thought you were going to take him, you know, seeing as you played with him and coached him and everything.
One, two, three, four, five.
I don't know how it's going to fit on Twitter, mind you, but
we'll idea. Work that out. Yeah, I'm going to take one of the best openers we've ever seen. Certainly one of the most entertaining. I'll take Haydos.
Yeah, so I had Haydos after Chappell, and I had Alan Border. I did have Elise Perry on my list, by the way, Cam. So I was ready for the hookup. On that one, but
phrasing?
Yeah, good one. I also thought of, and it's recent, I know, but Pat Cummins is getting
Cummins.
To
there's
that
no
level.
G. It's just yeah. Cummins. No G.
Cummins. Yeah, so he's sort of getting to that level where I'm almost considering that he needs to be put in that bowling group.
I think so Hazelwood has to be up there as well with the McGrath line of length type bowler. Hazelwood.
Who?
He's got to be there with
Hazelwood. Yeah. But he's no McGrath.
But he's up
yeah,
there.
He's
but no
McGrath-ish like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll run through them. Stato has the Don, Steve Waugh, Gilly, Dennis Lilly, and Greg Chappell. Jono has Ponting, Mark Waugh, Dean Jones, Mitch Johnson, and Richie Beno. And I've got Shane Warne, Glenn McGrath, Steve Smith, Elise Perry, and Matthew Hayden. And I think Stato, that looks pretty good, that list, mate.
It's, yeah, it's a good list if you're strong. 65, but I think our demographic, Cam.
I haven't been able to nail our demographic yet.
Just to clarify.
But even I don't know what it is.
You're a couple of decades off my period. But I will say that they're names that are immortal. And I don't think there's any cricket fans that wouldn't know any name that was mentioned here. So I actually think they're all good lists. But, of course, Stato's is better.
Yeah, we'll see. I reckon I do like Cams,
to be honest. I do like Cams.
It's not the worst. We've got a couple more keeper questions while we've got Stato
here. I would have subbed out Haydos for Bill Laurie, but anyway, Cam, that's your choice.
Nah, Haydos is too fun. When Haydos starts batting like halfway down the pitch, man, yeah, you know it's going to be a good...
Bill Laurie, yeah, he was my next guy.
Yeah. Okay, so not my Frogger. You're not my bad guy. Now we've got my name is Frogger. He's got a couple of questions here in the defender line. Ridley, Lukosius, Hunter, Clark. Progression, stagnation, or regression?
Stagnation. So let's go through the names again.
Ridley, Lukosius, yep. Hunter, yep. Clark.
I'm hot on all three. Ridley and Lukosius keep in a keeper league, keep the defender status for their career. Hunter Clark has the potential of hitting into the midfield, so you get a really massive boom year, but then he's M3? So if I was to keep two, because the intercept and the skills are always going to be used in those players for defenders, if I could only keep two of those three, I'd keep the two marking tools.
Cool. In the midfield line, to rank these four players: Tim Taranto, Jai Simkin, Bailey Smith, and Josh Dacos.
So did they say Taranto, Simkin, Bailey Smith and Dacos?
They did.
Was
yeah.
that the order?
That or was the order they gave.
Good order. Yep. Yeah. That's okay. The order I would give.
There you go. in the forward line, who is the people's prince, and why is it Rowan Marshall?
No. The people's prince is actually Cal.
The people's prince is Cal.
He is the people's prince. What did I call myself? What was I?
Stato.
There was the
people's champ. Champ.
People's champ. People's prince. The doctor's prince. No. He's the people's prince. There's no doubts about that. I'm the people's doctor.
Rowan Marshall's the pride. The pride of Portland.
He's the pride of Portland.
Who is your favourite ruck prospect under 22?
Sam Draper's too old, I do believe. Is that correct?
Yeah, he is.
So Tom DeConning and Sam Draper are the two young'uns I really like. I think we've all been hot on English, and in my home league I sold way too much to get English when he hit that streak last year. I'm a little bit worried with Bulldog's model and English, because I reckon most other clubs would have just settled down with him now, and I think that's what they need to do. DeConning and Draper, I think they're both number one ruckmans this year, and I think if you want to look different in all types of formats, it's those two you should be looking at.
And final question from Ninja Spoon. Hello, Ninja Spoon. Hey, congratulations on getting a job, mate. Well done. Should we be going average times 1.25 or take the 2019 average times 0.8 for comparison of breakout and regression?
Nah, gut feel, that fucker.
This is why we're asking Stato, mate.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's a really good question. What we don't know, and can I say it's actually going to take a bit of time to find out, is so people are going high on Maxi versus Grundy this year, but we've got to understand the whole COVID season. Not only did it have shorter quarters, but it had a lot of games in a short period of time. So I don't know whether we can take a lot of data yet to what the build-up to someone's breakout is. I think the simple model should be go the times 1.25, but understand there's going to be more flexibility from this year building into a breakout than we've ever had before, because it's such a different situation. So this is why I'm sort of I'm looking further back in history, if you can go. So that's why I'm Grundy over Gawn. And I think there's a lot of different models. Even Matt Rowe, I'm a little bit suspect on how he's going to go in full games. So just be mindful. But times at 1.25, take that as the rule. But understand there's going to be variables that none of us are thinking about yet.
Yeah, so if you just to summarise, it sounds like where possible, use more data than just last year. And where not possible, you know, basically 1.25 and cross your fingers for now.
Gut feel, that motherfucker.
Yeah, Jono was right.
So the moral of the story is all the fucking data and research mean fucking nothing. Jono was right. Yeah.
Especially after 2020. It's all gut feel this year, because I don't know about you guys. I got no idea.
We're in the new year. So just to wrap this show up, we're in the new year. If we could wish anything, so let's just keep it to fantasy footy. If we could wish anything on this season, what would it be, Cam?
That we get through 23 rounds.
Jono.
23 rounds, 1 week apart. None of this 55 games in 35 hours type bullshit. Like, that fucked us all. As content creators, that fucked us. But just a nice, normal year. A 2019 year. We have teams released on a Thursday, Friday. We set our lineups, and that's it. Done. But we play, and crowds. I want to see crowds back in the game.
Do you want to know my one wish? My one wish is that 2021 comes back to normality. When Stato was right and a premiership coach, and Cam hasn't got anything to celebrate. That's my one wish. Getting back to real life. No one losing their job. No one being stood down for 7 months. And Cam not looking like he's good at fantasy footy.
On that note,
it was a strange old year last year, can I say? And I'm glad we got through it. And thank you for all those that supported all of us through that time. Steve had some challenges. Cam blitzed life, which is really sad in itself. And Jono sort of held us together, and I went missing for
I think it was about six months. I don't put it out there, but no, I went through some stuff, and behind the scenes, I've got to say big thanks to Steve. He was there, you know, sending me messages and talking to me and helping me out. Plus a good support network of friends and family. I think that's what was important throughout that lockdown. A good support network of friends and family, just someone you can chat to, open, honestly, and that's all you need, really.
And spend some time with people you care about. I started the year in the most southern capital city and ended up in the most northern capital city, and had no even expectation or dream that anything like that could happen. But what a wonderful, weird and disastrous year we had last year. Let's hope it's all rosy from here on in.
And now you started the season with people that you love. Isn't that right, Stato? You started the year with people that you love.
Yeah, I actually spent some time with other people today, so yes, you're right.
On that note, I would like to say Happy New Year to everyone on the whole community. We hope you had a fun and safe New Year. We hope that 2021 is an absolute ripper for you, not just life, but also for your fantasy season. There's more ranking season coming through. We've got the draft kit coming up as well, so look forward to that. Any other questions, queries, whatever, hit us up on the social media, Twitter and Facebook. Just search The Draft Doctors there. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to The Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.